to talk today about some work we're doing at Brandeis and on prescription drug trends. And I'd like to first acknowledge my co-authors, some of whom are on the panel, and those who helped in terms of providing guidance through the project, Rita Vandenberg Warren and Catherine Levitt, who's going to be speaking about another project. I also want to acknowledge our funding from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration through Thompson MedStat subcontract, and this is part of the Spending Estimates Project. So we're going to start this panel by looking backwards. See if we can learn anything from past trends. We were asked to look at some of the reasons for fast growth in prescription drug spending in the mental health substance abuse area in the period of the highest drug spending growth in recent decades. And that was the period of the late 1990s, early 2000s. And as by way of background, we probably everybody in this room knows that prescription drugs are the fastest growing component of mental health substance abuse treatment spending. And largely due to some of the work that Tammy and her colleagues have done at Thompson MedStat, we know that during the 1990s, prescription drugs increased from 17% to 21% of total public and private mental health substance abuse treatment spending. Also, this is quite dramatic. In the private sector alone, the contribution to overall MHSA spending doubled in the 1990s. Now, that's partly because mental health substance abuse non-prescription drug spending tailed off, but it really indicates that there's been a huge move towards use of medications. During the 1990s also, we had, in the later 1990s, we had 20% to 30% annual growth in public and private spending. These trends have been confirmed across several different analyses. So it's an important area of mental health substance abuse. Trends that contributed, this is probably something you all know, is that during this period, new medications came out with fewer side effects, sometimes more effective. I say sometimes more effective, including the atypical antipsychotics, SNRI antidepressants that had fewer side effects than earlier antidepressants. They were changing, partly because of the new medications that came out, they were changing diagnostic and treatment thresholds. At the time, there were low-cost payments. This was before plans, health plans, started increasing co-payments, doubling, tripling them each year. And at the time, we also had a large move to managed care, and especially managed behavioral health care, in which medication use was encouraged. The prescribing of medications was encouraged to treat illnesses. And we believe that there's been continued growth in after 2000, 2001, for several of these drug classes, not all of them, but several of them. Now, let me just go directly to the study. We were asked, as I said, to examine public and private mental health substance abuse drug spending growth trends. And we wanted to pick a period where we had a lot of growth, a lot of use of drugs, prescription drugs for this these illnesses, and we wanted to see what the issues were. We wanted to look at the differences between the private and public sector, which there are huge differences, and I think a lot of the studies had looked individually at public and at private, but we wanted to drill down to look at the differences. Our research questions were basically what were the factors driving this rapid growth spending. Now, as I will show you in a minute the different factors, list them out, but basically we're going to look at, well, are more people taking drugs? Are the prices for the same drugs, are they the same drugs but the prices are higher? Are people using new drugs? What is it? Are the same people using more and more drugs? So we wanted to look at some of that. We also, we did this a few years ago when Medicare Part D was starting. We knew that a lot of new people were shifting from Medicaid to private sector drug management. And we wanted to see what the differences were in private drug management versus the public sector. And we wanted to look specifically at the elderly or disabled populations that would now be experiencing their drug dispensing through the private or management through the private sector. Okay. Remember that there's kind of a gap after you press the button, so do it too many times. Our methods were, we had data from, we looked at prescription drug claims. So we had the actual transaction costs. We did not look at, and that means what person and the program paid at the pharmacy. So member and program. These are insured populations. And we looked at the transaction costs plus the dispensing fees. Our population was, in some sense, a convenience sample. Actually, not even in some sense. It was a convenience sample of Medicaid states that we had data from to look at the prescription. We had prescription drug claims for fee-for-service Medicaid in four large states, and that added up to about over 1 million people a year in the Medicaid program. We also had a private pharmacy benefits manager. Does everybody know what a PBM, a private benefits manager, is? Well, this is an insurance company that takes care of drug claims. When you go to the pharmacy, you hand them your card, and 8 seconds later, your insurance card. 8 seconds later, they tell you that'll be a $57 copay and come back in 15 minutes. Well, the company that manages the claim, that tells, that adjudicates the claim, that charges for it, is the prescription benefits manager, and they've gone into, they are the precursor of what these private Medicare drug plans are. It's the same companies. They manage drugs and take care of it at the pharmacy. We had national representation and about over 1 million claims. What we did was we analyzed drug spending trends, decomposed that into what proportion of the growth was prices, what proportion is increased volume, what was the new drugs, what was the contribution of new drugs. And let's go, and we also did it by age and Medicaid eligibility. Our working analytic tool was that formula, which is the cost per person. We wanted to know what led to the program cost, the increase in what it costs to cover individuals. So the cost per person can be broken down into the cost per day of a prescription times the days per prescription, right? So, and then the prescriptions per user and users per population. By including this users piece, we could tell whether more people are going on drugs now that there are more drugs available, or it's just people piling on, the same people piling on more prescriptions. In addition, we wanted to see what the cost per day was, that how much of that was increasing the price for the same drugs. And I know AARP has done a lot of work in that area. That's inflation, drug inflation, versus new drugs coming on, cost per prescription for atypical antipsychotics more than earlier ones that aren't the same drug. Results. Well, I have this to focus on where the arrows. We don't have a pointer, do we? So I have built-in arrows here, so you know what to look at. One of the things that's very striking. We looked at 96 and 99 for the Medicaid population, and 1997 and 2000 for the privately insured. I want you to notice that the Medicaid population has a cost per enrollee. Now that's a divided across everybody, cost per enrollee of $280 per year. The privately insured, for the same analytical piece, cost per enrollee was only $44. So this is a very, very different population. I also want to point out that the growth in cost per enrollee from 96 to 99 was similar, a little bit higher for the privately insured, but about 30% per year. That's 30%, not over the 3 years, per year. And that's consistent with other studies. It's mostly in the Medicaid population. I will show you in a minute another way to look at it, and it's easier to see what portion of it was price, what portion of it is new people, what proportion of it was old people using more and more drugs. So here's the differences between public and private sector in what we call the sources: users per enrollee, cost per prescription, prescriptions per user. And in the Medicaid program, we find that 3/4 of the spending growth, this vast 30% per year spending growth in the Medicaid program, was due to higher price of a prescription. That means somewhere between inflation for the same drugs, as well as new expensive drugs coming on. was less in the private sector population. You'll see in a minute why. And in the private sector, we have more a greater effect of more prescriptions per user. Maybe the Medicaid programs limited the number of medications they would allow people to take. But we have a vast growth in cost of a prescription. These are newer, more expensive prescriptions. I think I'll bypass that. Let's look at the growth spending patterns by drug class.
How many do we have time?
Okay. Spending by growth by drug class. Well, you'll see if you look down at the Medicaid, the first column is Medicaid, 1996 to 1999. The bottom row shows you that the Medicaid program increased, that 130 to 280 that we saw on the last slide, is a difference of $144 per person over the 3 years. Where did that come from? And for the privately insured, the bottom row again, the cost per enrollee increased at $25, $26 per person. We break that down into what drug classes contributed to that. Well, you'll see with the private population, well, let's start with the Medicaid population. Over half of that was due to antipsychotics, antipsychotic medications. For Medicaid, it is largely a story of antipsychotic meds. It really is. For the private population, we're all privately insured, you'd be glad to know it's all about antidepressants. So during this period of time, the original tricyclic antidepressants were replaced largely by the SSRI, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor medications, and then the next class of drugs by the serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor drugs. So those were largely accounting for. That's the private sector. The public sector is antipsychotics, and the atypical antipsychotics were huge. Now, is that good or bad? Well, it could be good if there are more patients going on medications because they have fewer side effects. They work, they're more effective, if that's what the new medications represented. And to a large extent, they did. We also focused on the age 65 population just to look and see what would happen. And our goal was to see what would happen if you moved the population. Now, the PBMs, the private sector drug insurers, were used to treating a population that looked like this. Look at the bottom parts. It was $59 was their cost per enrollee for mental health substance abuse drugs. And by the way, substance abuse drugs don't even show up here, pretty much 1%. I, when you round off to nearest whole percentage point, it's either 0 or 1. So some of those are we're not talking much about those. I think Tammy will probably talk about that a lot. Anyway, so this is the privately insured elderly population. We're eliminating disabled for a moment. Are the population typically treated by these PBMs, by these drug plans, these Medicare drug plans? Now, with the advent of Medicare Part D and shifting Medicaid beneficiaries, elderly Medicaid and disabled Medicare beneficiaries, into the private sector, they're treating a population that is so different from who they've treated in the past. It's new to the private sector. Because when you look at Medicaid, you see these people had, by 1999, over $200, five times as much spending for mental health substance. Well, that's not five. That's three times as much spending for mental health substance abuse than in the private sector. You can see that it's antipsychotic drugs and other medications that the private sector was not as familiar with. Okay, so I'm summarizing with my few minutes left. We have drug spending growth near 30% annually in the late 1990s. For Medicaid, it's about antipsychotics. 75% of drug spending growth was due to more expensive prescriptions, and over half in the antipsychotics. Antidepressants are important, but they're less expensive than antipsychotics, so they don't contribute as much to drug spending. And about half is increased prices of the same drugs versus changing mix of drugs, newer drugs. The private sector, over half of utilization, two-thirds of spending, is about antidepressants, and it's due to more or less due to, it's more, two-thirds due to increased price for the same drugs, price inflation. They obviously were not holding down their prices, these private manufacturers, and I think that's come out in spades when we see how the prices for drugs have continued to increase even with moving Medicare beneficiaries to private sector. And the elderly, drug spending in each period was four times higher in the Medicaid population. So, implications. We have, over the period of time when there's a lot of growth, mental health substance abuse drug spending growth is due to more individuals taking more expensive medications in both sectors. In the current period, we've got the same issues coming up, and Linda will talk about this to see if any of these trends will portend the future. Cost of newer antipsychotics was a strong driver of Medicaid spending. You see, when you get a new class of drugs coming on, there's really a lot of, you can increase costs dramatically, and move to generics will be critical in any drug class. And again, drug management challenges, as we move these elderly people or disabled on lots of antipsychotic meds from Medicaid programs that have a lot of experience to the private sector Medicare drug plans. I think that is it.